This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Welcome to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today. Glad you are with us. Mark is out today, but he will be back on Monday. Tomorrow we've got Mike Elam sitting in, so you're absolutely going to want to catch that. In my day job, in case you haven't heard me before, in my real job, I'm an attorney here in St. Louis. I have a law firm, Harris, Young, and Kaiser. We do all kinds of legal work. But this is my golf because I can't hit a golf ball. I'm just being honest with you. The times I've tried, it's pathetic. To say that I'm awful exaggerates how good I am. So I do this instead because it's a lot more fun hanging out with you, hanging out with Ethan, hanging out with the cool kids here on 97.1.
The Hall of Famer, Fred Bottomer.
Fred Bottomer, the Hall of Famer. That's absolutely right. And it's especially fun on days like this. Why do I say that? Because having the opportunity to break down and to analyze this train wreck dumpster fire known as Sheriff Montgomery, to me, is a joy. It's a joy to be able to break this kind of stuff down. And Ethan, just so you know, at some point during this segment, I do want to go with clip number 5.
How quickly you
so
want
to. I'll let
I could
you
do
know.
It right now.
Nope. We got to set it up first.
Okay.
So I will let you know. But just kind of to recap where we are, because something substantive happened yesterday. This guy, he's the sheriff of St. Louis City, right? And he's in jail. Only in St. Louis does this happen, right? Where the acting sheriff is himself a prisoner. And he was trying to be the sheriff. He claimed he could be the sheriff, run the sheriff's department from the jail with no phone, no communications. Figure that out. I mean, Ouija board. I don't really know what he was using. But he claimed he could do it. Obviously, he can't. So he's been removed from office. And it's really good at this point to break down how we got here, what happened yesterday, and where this is going. Because when you just read the news and you read the city of St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery has been removed from office while he's in jail, it's kind of easy to skip past the details. Well, here are some of the details, because the details are important. He was initially charged when Andrew Bailey was the attorney general. He was initially charged and this what's called a quo warranto action was brought. And that's a legal procedure brought under the statutes of Missouri by the attorney general to oust a public official from office. The last time we saw this in St. Louis area, it was with Kim Gardner. And I got to tell you, Sheriff Montgomery and Kim Gardner, they're two peas in a pod when it comes to corruption, ineptness, inability to do the office, trying to use it for their own benefit. All of those things apply. But here's exactly what happened with Sheriff Montgomery. He handcuffed a person in the prison, but it wasn't a prisoner. It was an employee of the jail, had her handcuffed because he didn't like what she was doing. Had her handcuffed, escorted out of the building. Well, that's called false arrest. And so that's what prompted this quo warranto action. Also, there's allegations that he's refusing. These aren't allegations. This is a fact. He's refusing to do his job. The main duty of the sheriff of St. Louis is to transport prisoners who are in jail and transport them to the hospital when they need treatment. He said, no, not doing that. However, I want an increased budget for not doing what I was elected to do. And then he took the money that he was given as the sheriff, and what did he do with it? He bought himself a sweet ride, number one. He bought himself this really, really nice SUV. Secondly, he bought all new big flashy gold badges for him and his deputies. And then Sue Thomas just walked in. That's important.
Yeah, you really need that.
You need those big flashy badges.
Yeah.
You know, just like in Shrek. I wonder if he's trying to compensate for something. I'm just quoting movies, right?
Right.
So the other thing, though, is that there's many allegations of financial mismanagement.
Yeah.
So they bring this quo warranto action. Andrew Bailey did. He got promoted to go to the FBI, co-director of the FBI. Catherine Hanway steps in. She is continuing this quo warranto. But then the feds get in. And I got to tell you, when the feds step in, this is a great example. We've seen this with so many corrupt politicians in the St. Louis area, including Steve Stenger. We've seen it over and over and over again with other politicians in the city of St. Louis. When the feds step in, it's truly legal shock and awe. They've got the evidence. They've got wiretaps. They've got witness affidavits. They got it all. And in this instance, then now, the feds have charged him with deprivation of rights under color of law. What does that mean? That means he handcuffed Tammy Ross, who was the City Justice Center commissioner, handcuffed her. Also, we've got witness retaliation because as witnesses were cooperating with the feds, he was threatening the witnesses.
Ugh.
And he was not only threatening them by phone, whenever he was put on house arrest and they gave him one of those ankle bracelets, which are always attractive. Whenever he got that, he was told to stay off the phone. He got himself burner phones. And here's why he hasn't thought this through.
Brad. I mean,
he's not a chess player. Let me tell you why. Because even though he's on a burner phone, he thinks, "Hey, I'm anonymous. You can't catch me. I'm on a burner phone." But he calls employees and texted employees, and they could see where the texts were coming from. And he was threatening witnesses, and that's called witness tampering. So he's charged with that as well. So the judge was going to leave him on home arrest until he popped up with the burner phones. More than one. So once he had more than one burner phones, the judge said, that's it. You're going to jail because I don't think you're going to be able to get access to burner phones while you're in the Gray Bar Motel.
Wow.
So he's in jail. Now, finally, yesterday, Judge Steve Omer said, you cannot be a sheriff and in jail at the same time.
Well, it doesn't seem like it could.
That's right. So he took him and removed him from office. And in his place, and I think this is an excellent move, in his place, the judge appointed a guy named John Hayden. If that name sounds familiar, it probably does to you because he was the former head of the City of St. Louis Police Department. And he is now the acting sheriff of the City of St. Louis. He brings experience. He knows how politics work. He's not political. He's a law and order kind of guy.
Perfect.
And I truly hope that he gets to stay in that office. The legal rationale for how do we pick the replacement, that's complicated. Under state law, there's multiple conflicting statutes. But the bottom line is it's going to be the Board of Aldermen that get to make that decision at the end of the day.
Okay.
So they will. Kara Spencer likes John Hayden.
That's good.
Many members of the Board of Aldermen like John Hayden, except for Megan Green, but she doesn't like any cops, so that's why that's the case. But the bottom line is we're in a much better position. Now, what happens next? What happens next is this. On November 18, he goes to trial on this quo warranto action. And again, the whole point of the quo warranto action is not to convict him of anything, because he's got the feds to deal with for those criminal charges. But this is just to remove him from office. That's the whole point of this quo warranto action. And it's interesting that Catherine Hanaway, I tried to get her on the show this afternoon, but she's in Israel. Mm. And right now in Israel, it's pretty late. But she did phone in to the Mark Cox show
this morning,
and she talked about Sheriff Montgomery, what's going on right now and where this is going. And in clip five, she says this.
Well, he's a suspended sheriff at this point. The judge entered an order yesterday temporarily removing him from that office and allowing the judges in the city of St. Louis to appoint a temporary replacement. The permanent decision will be made at a trial that starts on November 18th. So either way, this is going to be a fairly short time period, and I'm very confident that after that trial, he'll be permanently removed. It's overdue. The judge clearly is giving him every opportunity to exonerate himself, but like many others, he just keeps trying to cover up his original actions and keeps digging himself a bigger and bigger hole.
So that's from the current Missouri Attorney General, Catherine Hanaway. I've met her, talked to her many, many times. I like her.
I do, too.
She's aggressive.
Yes.
She's smart.
Yes.
At one point, she had the highest hourly rate of any attorney in the state of Missouri. So, you know, at some point, I got to say, hey, kudos
respect,
to you.
Respect.
Your hourly rate's a lot higher than mine. So I got to give you credit for that. I don't think that's still her title, but she had that title for over a year, the highest hourly billable hourly rate in the state of Missouri for any attorney.
Dang.
Except there, you know, there once was attorney, his name was Forrest Elliott, who did work for the state. He was a contract employee for the state of Missouri. I always call him the hardest working lawyer ever because he would bill the state over 30 hours a day for legal work.
A day?
30 hours a day.
Did he do the math on that?
Apparently not, but he had time when he went to prison to do the math. But he was billing the state of Missouri 30 hours a day for legal work.
And how did these people become lawyers?
I don't know. I know some pretty stupid people that have gotten through law school. So, you don't have to have a genius level intellect to make that happen. But I'll tell you what, you do have to have a genius level intellect to do. And that is to figure out when it's time to take a break. Because we've got to go to a profit center break here for 97.1 FM. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Steve Ellman. He's a smart guy. He's running for re-election in St. Charles County. He's going to rerun for St. Charles County Executive. We're going to talk to him next on the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in on St. Louis Conservative 97.1 FM Talk.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today. And you want to know one of the reasons why I love doing this show? Because I get to talk to guys like this. Steve Ellman has just announced that he's launching his re-election bid for St. Charles County Executive. Steve, as always, sir, it's great to talk to you.
Brad, it's great to talk to you. Now, I've talked to about 15 journalists of different stripes over the last 36 hours, but you're the first lawyer. So your challenge, if you decide to accept it, is to ask me at least one question that nobody else has asked yet.
Oh, I can, okay? I challenge accepted, my friend. Before this interview is over, I'm going to be asking you, how about this? What was your childhood nickname?
Elmo.
See, has anyone ever asked you that?
No, actually, it wasn't my childhood nickname, but in college, that's what they called me.
Oh, see?
Back when the Archie Bunker, remember Archie Bunker?
Oh, sure.
Had Black Elmo on that he worked with.
I do remember
that. And they start calling me just Elmo.
Well, see, a challenge accepted. I've already met your challenge, and it was with my first question. So
okay, you're home.
I'm home free. Hey, the reason why I wanted to talk to you is I did a little research yesterday, and I looked around at the accomplishments of St. Charles County. I'm not going to say necessarily just yours and yours alone, because I know as someone who leads a team of people that you get to take credit for the work of your people. But by being the leader, you establish the leadership, you empower, you direct, you cheerlead, you do all those things when you're in a leadership position. But under your leadership, over 50,000 new jobs have been created in St. Charles County while you've been there. Fiscal responsibility, there's been stable county finances. You've avoided tax increases. You have developed infrastructure. You've oversaw hundreds of miles of new roads, including new projects like the Route 364 Page Avenue extension, the current project that's going on with 70. I mean, I could go on and on. My question to you is, Why are you wanting to continue this? Because your track record is amazing. What at this point is spurring you to do this for a longer period of time?
Well, I've been saying this ever since the census came out, and you know, there's a lot about polling, but the most important poll to me is that census. And the biggest problem in that poll is that the region only grew 1.3% in the previous decade. St. Charles County grew 13%. You're absolutely right. We're doing very well. The jobs, you know, I wish I could take more credit for that. I'll take credit for staying out of the way of entrepreneurs that want to create new businesses and create new jobs. But the fact, what I've been telling people is we're going to continue to do well in St. Charles County. But if we don't get the region going, eventually everybody who wants to move out to St. Charles County from St. Louis City and County will do it. And then the whole region will be no growth.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I want to do is keep things going in St. Charles the way they have been going. But I think in the long run, that's going to require a lot of work to get the region going. And I think right now, you know, we've got a chance here to have a group of people at East West Gateway. I know we've got some people in Jeff City that will help us get the region going. You know, it's real easy for me to say this, but, you know, I think maybe if some of the other jurisdictions look to see what we are doing, or in some cases not doing in St. Charles County, you know, they might be a little bit better off. So I'd like to offer that kind of leadership, not just to the people of St. Charles County, but to the whole region.
Yeah, I found this quote from you yesterday, Steve, when you said this, and I'm quoting you now, quote, "St. Charles County is now at a crossroads. It needs balanced and sustainable development to ensure we maintain the character of our county, which everyone has enjoyed," unquote. That fits in with what you just said about maintaining, not just maintaining leadership, but also making sure that the things that have been done right over the past 20 years continue to be done right. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not one of these people. I'm not competing against Sam Page or St. Louis County to try to have more people than St. Louis County. We'll never have anywhere near as many people as St. Louis County, no matter what some developers might want to do, because 43% of our county is floodplain. Another 10% probably is parks in the conservation area. And a big chunk of it, the whole Femisage watershed and large parts of the other watersheds are so hilly, so rocky, so forested that there's never going to be sewer and water available in those areas. Those are always going to remain what they are now, pristine, beautiful, something that we can enjoy without driving 2 miles out into the country. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, being able to drive, 25 minutes down to Busch Stadium and see the Cardinals. I hope they'll start playing better. But, you know, we got the best of both worlds out here. We're close to the urban things that people enjoy to do. But right next door to us, I mean, right here in our own county, we've got some beautiful areas. Some of them are parks. A lot of them are private residences. And they're going to need to stay the way they are. So it's not about growth or no growth. It's about smart growth or stupid growth. And I'm definitely for the former rather than the latter.
Absolutely. We're talking to St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman. And Steve, I've talked to you many times over the years. And one of the things that you've consistently brought up when I've talked to you over a pretty long period of time was that not just you in particular, but St. Charles is underrepresented on regional boards. So if that's still the case, I guess that's my first question. Is that still the case? But secondly, what specific changes would you like to see in order to allow St. Charles to have more of a regional voice?
Well, you know, what you're talking about is the voting down at East-West Gateway. And yes, we are underrepresented, but I can't complain too much because St. Louis County is even more underrepresented than we are. The problem is when East-West Gateway was created in 1965, in the 1960 census, the city still had way more people than the county. But they went ahead and knew St. Louis County was growing, so they gave each of them 3 votes. They gave Franklin, Jefferson, and St. Charles 1 vote, which is about what we deserve. And anyway, the county, St. Louis County, continued to grow. And now they got 1 million people. Instead of 3 votes, they got 4. City of St. Louis went from 800,000, or well, 65 was probably about 650,000. Mm-hmm. They went down to less than 300,000 were over 340,000, yet they continue to have 3 votes, and St. Charles County has 2. So I'm hopeful that in this year, that's one of the things of, you know, I've got 14 months left in this job, no matter what. That's one of the things I want to work on, and I've talked to the people in St. Louis County, and hopefully we can get that straightened out.
Well, Steve, first of all, just personally, I'm glad you're running for re-election. I'm glad you're there now, and I'm looking forward to seeing how St. Charles continues to develop, to expand, to prosper. I've got lots of cousins of mine that live in St. Charles County, and in fact, one of my cousins said she would never live to see the completion of the Page Avenue extension, and every time we get together for her birthday, I remind her that failed. She did not predict that correctly.
Well, you know, if we had waited for MoDOT to be able to pay for it, it wouldn't be started yet. They might be starting it next year. But well, but again, it wasn't me alone. It was me and a whole bunch of people. The mayors out here,
you bet,
all got together. We got together with MoDOT. We got together with anybody who would help, including East West Gateway. And we wanted to set it up so MoDOT could pay for half of it. The county road board paid for a quarter of it. And all the cities got together along with the county, and we asked for just one federal project from East-West Gateway, and that was the other one for it. So it was a matter of working together, and I think that's the key to government. And if the politicians could learn to work together like other people do, we'd probably achieve a whole lot more.
I wholeheartedly agree. Steve Ellman, county executive in St. Charles County, good to talk to you again, sir.
Enjoy it, Brad. Take care.
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking soon. Hey, coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Steve Yenner. He's the director of the Simon Center for American Studies at the Heritage Foundation. He's going to talk about something that happened right here in St. Louis. It's an attempt by Washington University School of Medicine to hide their DEI programs from public scrutiny. We're going to talk to him next, right here on St. Louis Conservative. Brad Young sitting in for Mark Reardon, 97.1 FM Talk.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today. Glad you're hanging out with us. For nothing else other than you could actually hear about something that's going on right here in St. Louis. Joining me is Scott Yenner. He's with the Heritage Foundation. Scott, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
Good day, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. And I wanted to reach out to you because news broke earlier this week about Washington University School of Medicine. That's WashU is a big deal right here in St. Louis. And there's accusations that the institution is attempting to evade accountability by relocating its DEI office to other areas, trying to hide its DEI office. Tell us at this point, what do you know about what's going on at WashU in St. Louis?
Yeah, what I saw was that American First Legal has broken the story that Washington St. Louis has has moved its DEI office from the first floor where everyone could see it to a restricted floor on the 12th floor, but so where no one can see it. And thinking thereby that they have solved the problem by hiding the football. The difficulty here is that the Trump administration isn't concerned about visibility. It's concerned about what the actual policies and personnel of universities are doing. So the attempt to evade accountability by moving the floor of the DEI office, while clever and something I've never seen before, doesn't really answer the question. So Washington University is going to be on the hook still for all of the violations that they may have made on DEI policies.
And if we put this in context, Scott, if we look at what has happened even at the Supreme Court level a couple of years ago, where Harvard University's DEI enrollment policies were challenged, and those were found to be unconstitutional because of the preferences that were made. We saw President Trump taking on Harvard and other universities for DEI. Is this an extension of the Trump administration's perspective here that, and to quote Supreme Court Justice Roberts, that if you want to stop discriminating on the basis of race, you simply stop discriminating on the basis of race?
Yeah, I mean, the problem in medical schools is multifaceted. So the first one is the one you're highlighting, Brad, which is who gets into medical school? And the Supreme Court has weighed in on who gets into medical school and said that this needs to be a colorblind process. And for private universities like Washington U, you know, the data isn't available publicly, so you have to actually sue them. So then the second thing is, well, what is the administration of the school? Does it look like it bends in the direction of changing admissions? When you look at the significant dedication of personnel that they have made to diversity and what they call the pipeline problem in medical school, you know that they're doing something when it comes to this. They have more than 10 people, it looks like, in the medical school working on diversity issues. And then the third, and actually the most troubling part, is the extent to which these diversity issues end up corrupting the curriculum in medical school. So instead of, or in the place of, doing, you know, your normal, you know, biology classes and your rotations, they end up picking lots of training in racial disparities in healthcare, as if it's the doctor's job to fix that. And that's the most insidious long-term threat to the medical industry. And the Trump administration is trying to stop it on all of these factors. If you are making racial disparities the point of your policy, that policy needs to go out. So it's not exactly, I think it's not exactly the Supreme Court's decision only in admissions, but it's actually the spirit that is embodied in that Supreme Court decision that the Trump administration is using to pursue, you know, cases against many medical schools and many universities around the country.
We're talking to Scott Yenner with the Heritage Foundation. And Scott, in case someone isn't as well-versed in discussing DEI, like people who read this every day or study this every day like you do, and me to some extent, how would you explain, just in a common layman's terms, what's the problem with DEI? Because on its face, it sounds very altruistic, that we're trying to give people a hand up here when it comes to helping folks get into universities, get into medical schools, advance in medical schools. But what's the insidious problem with DEI?
Yeah, I mean, the fundamental thing about DEI is that it traces all disparities between the races or the sexes to discrimination, and then tries to go about changing the environment in order to eliminate those disparities. So here's what I mean. So if you take normal tests to get into medical school, you know, there's not going to be as many blacks who get the scores to enter medical school. So what they end up doing is having different standards for blacks and whites and Asians, so that they can get equal numbers, that is, the numbers in proportion as they are to the population, into the school. So they have to change the environment, change the standards in order to eliminate the discrimination. Now, take that example, the admissions example, and multiply it by everything in human experience. And that's the diversity regime. So if, if things are true, like if blacks have a life expectancy that's a few years less than whites, and whites have a life expectancy that's a few years less than Asians, well, that's a disparity that now has to be fixed somehow by reallocating society's resources to fix it. Instead of just saying, these disparities are the result of people's different choices and natures, we say that they're all the result of discrimination, and therefore transform society into to eliminate that discrimination.
One of the things that I see during my day job, Scott, as an attorney, is people who equate equal opportunity with equal outcome. And they think that those two things are the same. The idea being that if someone has the equal opportunity to go to college, then that must mean that the outcome has to be the same, which is that everyone has to make the same amount of money. Everyone has to have the same size house. Everyone has to drive the same type of car. Does that get into a little bit about what you're talking about here when it comes to the fundamental problem with DEI?
Yeah, I mean, when equality of results or the elimination of racial disparities is a goal of our policy, like, it just requires us to forget about excellence and standards. Mm. It's just a fact that groups of people end up with different outcomes. I mean, among whites, I mean, I like to point this out that, you know, Germans and people of Polish extraction, people of German extraction, we're going to go right to St. Louis stuff, right? German extraction and Polish extraction. They have different outcomes. They actually have different life expectancies. Germans live a little longer. They have different wealth outcomes. Germans end up being a little wealthier. And even though they've been in the same milieu in the same country for 100 years plus, they end up being different outcomes. So we should expect people of different ethnic extractions and other things to have somewhat different outcomes. And, you know, the attempt to eliminate it is just a tyrannical exercise of state power, because they're trying to re-engineer nature, nature and culture. And whereas I think we can kind of celebrate the differences between people and be all right with the fact that there's going to be different outcomes. That's what a free society does.
Yeah, the other problem that I have with this whole idea of DEI is that if you're discriminating in favor of one group, then by definition, you're discriminating against another group. So it's not as if that the goal of DEI is equality. The goal of DEI is prolonged discrimination, just changing who is being discriminated against. But let's turn to this, because where do you see this particular investigation going? I know there have been some complaints filed with the federal government in terms of what Washington U is doing. Where do you see this going from here?
Yeah, I mean, I have this secret theory that the reason the Democrats want to shut down the government is that they're shutting down all of these Office of Civil Rights investigations against their institutions, like higher ed institutions. And until the Office of Civil Rights, OCR, as it's called in the business, is fully staffed to actually take on all of these things, the strategy has been to go after some very high-profile violators, to get settlements from them, to make them change their policies. I don't know where Washington U falls in the pecking order of these prestigious institutions. I know it's a very highly ranked and highly regarded, or has been a highly regarded, medical school, but I don't know where they are in the pecking order as far as taking them on. The way that the Trump administration has generally done that is they've picked out those with the biggest endowments, and because their fines will be significant under those circumstances. So I expect that its day will come, but it may be later rather than sooner, based on where it is in the pecking order.
Understood. Scott Yenner from the Heritage Foundation, if folks want to follow you online, how can they do that?
Yeah, I Twitter. I guess I have a Twitter account at Scott Yenner, Y-E-N-O-R. Always happy to get new followers, I guess.
Very good. Well, I like reading your stuff that I see at the Daily Signal as well. So thank you very much for joining us this afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show. I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Scott. I just want to end this segment with this idea. And if you go look at the Declaration of Independence. It's pretty much available online or in any dictionary a lot of times. But if you look at the preamble, it's not complicated. We've all heard these words, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When you look at the DEI problems, it's encapsulated in that preamble, because we are created equal, but we're not guaranteed equal outcome. And in the event there is an unequal outcome, it's not necessarily from the position of discrimination. I grew up in a small coal mining town. My high school guidance counselor told me to join the army or go to the coal mines. I said, neither of those really worked for me. And so I left and pursued a career. Does that mean that the people in my hometown were discriminated against? Not at all. It just means that we chose different paths. And when you go back to the Declaration of Independence, that we do have certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but there's no guarantee of the achievement of happiness. And when you look at the left today, when we're guaranteed that among those unalienable rights is the right to life, most on the left today ignore that part of the Declaration of Independence. So, as I mentioned to Scott, anytime you talk about DEI, you're talking about not elimination of discrimination, but simply changing whom you are discriminating against. And to me, I'm in favor of elimination of all discrimination, not just discrimination against a certain group of people because of what ancestors may have done 200 years ago. Brad Young sitting in for Mark Reardon today. We've got more coming up. I've got another segment. I've got a big stack of stuff here. You're going to want to stick around to St. Louis Conservative, 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. And I wanted to continue the conversation about discrimination because, because this is a pivotal issue for the 21st century America. Should we stop discriminating or should we continue discriminating just against different groups? And there's one case that was at the Supreme Court 2 weeks ago that is going to be pivotal in deciding, are we going to continue to discriminate on the basis of race? And that case is Louisiana versus Calais. And you're going to want to look that case up, C-A-L-L-A-I-S. That was argued at the Supreme Court a couple of weeks ago. And here's the gist of what that case is about. Louisiana, back in 2020, went through redistricting. And when they did, one historically black district was carved up. There was a change the way the districts were drawn, and it cut into this historically black district. And so there was a lawsuit filed. And under the Voting Rights Act, the circuit court found that there was discrimination here because it went into and it divided up a district that was historically majority black. And it was challenged. It was challenged by voters in that new district on the basis of this, that under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, we're supposed to be treated equally, whether you're white, black, or anything else. But by saying that blacks have to have a specific district based on their race, doesn't that violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment? Because you're saying that any other district can be carved up, but this district cannot be carved up. In other words, special treatment for this district solely and exclusively on the basis of race. And that's gone up to the Supreme Court. And that case is oral argument is in the bag from a couple of weeks ago. And now it'll probably be 2026 before we get a decision on that. But think about the implications of saying, if you're looking at it from a discrimination standpoint, you cannot redistrict this particular district, can't do it, because those folks are black and they are immune from having their district changed. In essence, you're not saying equal protection. Now you're saying greater protection for that group of people. And if you want to stop discriminating on the basis of race, you have to stop discriminating on the basis of race. Now, I was reading, and actually I listened to the oral arguments when this case was up at the Supreme Court, and I was reading a transcript of the actual oral arguments, and I thought it was extremely interesting, the comparison that was made in oral argument, because Ketanji Brown Jackson, here's exactly what she did. She was trying to equate a permanently entrenched mode of discrimination protection should be in place for blacks, just like it is for disabled people under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So she was trying to say it's okay since the ADA permanently says that people with disabilities get added benefits. And her argument was blacks should be treated the same way, to have permanent protection on their class because of who they are. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, if I were black, I would be offended by that. Because now a member of the Supreme Court is saying that I, simply because of the color of my skin, that I have a permanent disability that will never go away, ever. That's like equating me to having no legs or equating me to having no arms. And so to me, it's inherently condescending for a member of the Supreme Court to say, you, black person, and here's a person who's literally at the Supreme Court, coming on the heels of a black president of the United States, saying to black people in America, you have a permanent disability and the government has to take care of you. To me, that's condescending. It's rude. And it really undermines this idea that all of us are Americans if you create one block of permanent disabled people based solely on the basis of race. Hey, we got to take a break here. We'll be back coming up. Make sure you stick around because the next hour, we've got exactly what you've been waiting for. Sue's News coming up in the 4 o'clock hour right here on St. Louis Conservative. 97.1 FM Talk. Brad Young filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.